Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Heart to Health Talk. I'm Zixin.
And I'm Sheng Hao. So in this series, we're going to be talking about the digitalization of health and how it has changed the ways that we live. And for this episode, we'll be talking about tracking your health, whether that's through apps, wearables, or even other devices, such as Excel sheets.
Joining us today are two friends who regularly use these fitness devices. Would you guys like to introduce yourself and the devices you use?
Hi, I'm Denise. I am 27 this year, and I've actually used a couple of wearables before. So this is my second one, I would say. So the first one that I used was initially Fitbit. Now I'm using a Garmin Forerunner 45S.
Hi, everyone. I'm Zehui. I'm 29 this year, and I'm currently using an Apple Watch. This is my third wearable. So I actually started off using Garmin, and then because of work, I switched to actually Fitbit, and Apple Watch was given to me as a gift. That's why I landed on Apple Watch now.
If I'm not wrong, out of the three brands that you guys mentioned, Apple Watch is the most expensive, or at least like Apple is the one that's supposed to be like the more premium or like high tier one. Is that the case? Because I'm not too familiar with these kind of watches.
Yeah, it definitely is. Apple Watch is the highest tier.
So does it come with some kind of additional features that Garmin or Fitbit don't offer?
I think in general, it's a lot more sleek, and like the way it can sync your, you know, your phone data, you can really just use it as like how you use your iPhone. So I think a lot of iOS users probably really like Apple Watch because it's just like a extension of your actual iPhone.
Hmm. Yeah, and you can also change the straps and stuff. So I think that customizable feature of it is really good as well. Because for a Garmin, the strap is attached to the watch face itself. So you can't actually do much with it.
Because I used to own a Fitbit Blaze, I think that's quite an old model. But basically, it's really not very good looking as far as watches go. So like, I think for me, right, let's say if I wanted to wear it as just a fitness tracker to use it when I'm doing exercise or if I'm going out to run, then, you know, it's okay. But if I'm wearing it out, I don't know, like personally for me, I think it looks really bad as a dress watch, right? So I guess maybe that's kind of where Apple Watch comes in to kind of like blend the aesthetic.
But actually, a lot of wearables now, they also take into account the aesthetics. I mean, there's still that rugged option, but there's also the very aesthetically pleasing type of watch. So I think Garmin just released quite a good range of beautiful watches for ladies also, which look really sleek, but it can also track your fitness data.
I guess it's part of the aesthetic of wearing a health tracker. So actually, how do you get started on a health wearable?
Actually, I started off using fitness tracking apps. So like the Nike Run app, Strava and stuff. And then I think as the years go by, I wanted something more accurate because I realized like the tracking was not extremely accurate. When I use my app to track the run and I compare it to someone who has a wearable, I realized like, I'm actually overestimating the distance that I'm running. And then I also got a little more serious into running. So accuracy was then more important to me. So that's why I thought, okay, I want to get something specially to track my runs. So that's where I got started on Garmin Forerunner, which was quite popular for like running. And it was also at a very affordable cost, that's why.
I had a similar journey to Zehui as well. So started off using those tracking apps. So initially used the health app, then was also using Strava to track my runs. And it got very heavy as to wear it on your arm while you're running. And that's also like very tedious for you as a runner. It's like, okay, it's so much easier if I just had a watch to track my runs. So in the end, I got a Garmin because initially when I had my Fitbit, that didn't track my runs as well. So I still had to have my phone with me while I was going on jogs.
I remember us discussing which watch to get.
Yeah. And even when we were using different apps to track our runs, like I think you're using the Nike one or Adidas, and then I was using Strava.
Yeah.
So we always had like a few hundred meters difference in our distance.
300 meters is a lot, yeah.
Yeah, we used to train together quite a lot. Then we'll be like, okay, I've reached the end. But then Denise say, okay, actually she hasn't reached her 16K yet, so she needs to continue running. So,
how far do you normally run? So 16Ks.
16, not 60. Yeah, that was once. We were training.
One time. We were training for a half. A
half marathon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to go back a bit to the reliability of the wearables versus the app because... like for me, I always thought like the watches, or maybe it's just my watch is bad. But my watch is really unreliable. Like, let's say if I go to the gym, right, and then I wear the Fitbit Blaze, I press the start, and then it will say, like, after 1 hour, you burn 500 calories. I'm like, there's no way I burn 500 calories, right? Because, like, in, you know, like, in the gym, you're, like, resting more than you're actually doing, for most people anyway. So it's, like, no way I'm burning 500 calories. So I just thought, like, this watch is, like, it's broken, and then I just stopped using it after that. So is it just, like, a kind of personal thing, or is, like, maybe it's better for running, less reliable for, like, other stuff?
The one seemed a bit extreme. The 500 seems a bit too much. I think I did, like, set in some discrepancy, but it's not that bad, actually. My experience with wearables is that the tracking of, you know, calories burned and all those has been quite accurate so far. Yeah, I think it also got me to realize that actually an exercise doesn't burn much calories. You know, like, sometimes when I run, feel like I perspire so much. I think, like, I'm burning 600, 700 calories. But, like, when I check my watch, it's, like, 296. It's not even a burger.
Yeah, that's true. I noticed that sometimes it's, like, not super accurate as well. So I'm not sure why my Garmin watch does this, but sometimes the pace of my runs, it just, like, jumps from, like, my usual pace would be like 5 minutes, 30 to 40 seconds. And then all of a sudden it goes to like 5 minutes when I look at my watch during my run, like in the middle of my run. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I'm not running this fast. I just ignore it. But
maybe you are.
I suddenly became the Flash.
Yeah.
I noticed that y'all talk about all these numbers, timings, calories. So personally for me, I don't really use a health wearable. But when I'm going for my runs, I usually try to track my timings, and I always try to like push it, like whenever I see like, oh, it's 12 minutes, let's try to push it to like 11 minutes 30 seconds next time, or like 11 minutes, because I'm always running the same route. I'm wondering whether you feel that after getting the health wearable, do you feel like it affects how you exercise?
Definitely. I think we're also both very competitive people, so I think usually we try and, you know, push to be better than our previous runs. Yeah. But I think COVID doesn't really help, because sometimes I train up my stamina using treadmills already, but then after that, it just plunges during COVID and I have to run outside. So I can't really do those intervals on the treadmill. Yeah, it's more like the long distance, which can't really train your speed. Yeah, so then the speed goes down from there.
It also makes me more conscious of like the number of steps I take in a day. And at what hour of the day, and then I just take a look. I'm like, oh my gosh, I only did like a few hundred. I'm like, oh no. I should start walking a bit more. Because you live such a sedentary lifestyle as well, right?
Yeah.
And we're doing desk jobs. So literally, if you have meetings, you're just staying in front of your computer at home all day.
I know, like, the Health Promotion Board has always been doing that sort of annual National Steps Challenge thing, right? The getting 10,000 steps in a day. Then they offer those fitness trackers as well, right? So have you all tried those fitness trackers from Health Promotion Board? And if so, like, how is that different from the ones you are using?
I did not go and get the fitness tracker from HPB. Yeah, because I personally already own a watch. Yeah, and I wanted something more precise. Yeah, so that's why.
I think when they first started, I don't think the watch that I got was from HPB, actually. I was with AIA, so the insurance company. And AIA have this program called Vitality. And they were also doing a similar kind of program. Like, if you hit like 5,000 or 7,000 steps in a day, and you do it like consistently 5 days out of 7 days in a week, they give you like $10 voucher. Yeah. So at that time, I still hadn't gotten my Fitbit yet. They gave like this Polar watch, but it looked extremely ugly, so I decided not to use it at all.
Yeah. But actually, speaking of which, I just downloaded the Lumi Health app and started using it. I think people have been asking me to, you know, get started, because it's actually just free money since I already exercise and run a lot, right? Yeah, but today I just started like using it for real. Yeah, quite cool. It's basically to clock more points by being more active. And also there's a lot of other challenges on the app. Yeah, like for example, if you actually try out 3 different workouts in a week, for example, or you do 1 minute of breathing on your Apple Watch, then you actually get to clock points. And then, of course, with these accumulated points, you can then redeem HPP vouchers with it. Yeah.
So how do they like verify that you did 3 different workouts? Do you need to record yourself or like?
Yeah, so it's tied to the Apple Watch. So all the activity is tracked there.
So there's no way to cheat the system.
If people want to cheat, I'm sure they can. But yeah.
Because I remember like my family had subscription to AIA Vitality in the past. Then there were some ways to
Very innovative
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, come up with innovative ways.
I think people were even selling the machine to
spin, right? Yeah, because I see like, you know those old uncles, they use it for like the Pokemon Go to hatch their egg also. Then they got the spinning thing. And so it's like,
yeah,
definitely when there's a will, there's a way. Lah, yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And also HPB now has a cap on the number of vouchers you can get. So yeah, there's some way to at least put a cap to how many vouchers each person can get. If not, yeah, there's just too much.
I used to own one of the National Steps Challenge that watch. And yeah, it was really very clunky and it's quite ugly, lah, honestly. Yeah. But it was also not very accurate. I tried using it, but I never committed enough to really clock up the steps and like make sure that I exchanged the points for vouchers. And it was really more for like what Denise mentioned, just to check whether I was being very sedentary and like to make sure that I got enough steps in. I was wondering, like for the National Steps Challenge gadget, it was very accessible because I mean, after all, it's free and it's provided by government. But for more premium brands like Garmin or Fitbit or Apple Watch, what are some features that you think we should watch out for when we are purchasing them? Or what features do you prioritize?
For me, if I'm buying the watch, it's really about the accuracy. Yeah. The only reason why I'm using an Apple Watch now is because it was a gift. Yeah. But if not, I will revert back to my Garmin actually, because I think that's the most accurate amongst all. Yeah.
Yeah, likewise. So for me, when I got the Garmin Forerunner, it's because like the activity that I do the most is running. So I needed something to track the accuracy of my runs as well. So I know that my Strava app is like good enough, but I don't want to carry my phone out on my runs all the time. So I actually only got this last year during Circuit Breaker. So I don't need to put my phone out on my jogs. It's so much easier. And when I come home, it just syncs automatically with my phone. And it also links to my Strava app. So everything is like very seamless.
Sounds like we should get Garmin to just sponsor this episode. This is like basically an advertisement for Garmin, really.
We do work with them. So yeah. Oh, yeah.
So maybe as someone who is interested in getting a health wearable, do you find that when you first started off getting interested in purchasing a health wearable, do you find that it was accessible? Because as you mentioned, some watches like Apple Watches, they have a premium price attached to it because of its aesthetics, because of its functions. But for perhaps the very first watch that you got, like the Garmin, do you feel that as someone who's just interested in getting one, like it would be pretty accessible to get it?
Accessible as in like the affordability,
affordable,
right? Yeah. So I think at that point of time, because, you know, I just started out working, so affordability was very important to me. Yeah. And I actually pondered for a very long time before I actually purchased the Garmin Forerunner watch. I think at a price point of about 200 plus, it was considered very value for money. Yeah. So that was okay. But at that point of time, I would definitely not consider an Apple watch.
Yeah. Agreed. I think there's also other options that are like good enough. So Fitbit, I think the entry watch that they have is probably only like less than $200, if I'm not wrong. And then now you also have like Xiaomi. Xiaomi has their own like similar to Fitbit looking watch. So my friend got that and it was pretty cheap as well. So low hundreds. And I think that's really affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like those brands like Garmin or definitely not Apple. Apple is like on the high-end range already. Garmin would definitely be more mid-range if you're looking for entry-level and very accurate watch for running. So Garmin started off as like GPS tracker, right? So yeah.
I think more and more people are getting Apple Watch though. I guess like also because of the current situation, you can't really splurge on like vacations and such, right? So it's more like indulging in yourself. I think that's at least what I gather from the friends around me.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of self-love and a little bit of like investing in a hobby. Because
exactly.
Yeah, as someone who enjoys running, getting a health wearable would definitely be something that's worthwhile since you're able to have more accuracy, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like self-consolation, right? You're getting something good for yourself.
For your health, yeah. All right, then as you mentioned, like all these health wearables, they also have GPS location tracking services, right? That's how you're able to map out on like Strava or map out on like Runkeeper, that kind of things, right? I was wondering whether you ever had any doubts about the privacy issues regarding these wearables. Because, I mean, you're wearing it with you all the time and it's tracking you at every point of your time, you know?
Yeah. Actually, for me, not at all. Because logically, yeah, they would have to track because that is the data that I want them to track. Yeah, so To me, I'm totally fine.
Yeah, me neither.
Then on another issue, I was just wondering, do you have any initial doubts about the Trace Together token?
Also not really. I mean, not at all, because it's a government-verified program, right? So yeah, not for me, actually.
I think for Trace Together, it's also like for the safety and wellness of our community, right? So because of the purpose that they created this token for, I think that's fine. But of course, if like they just randomly came up with like a tracking token all of a sudden out of nowhere, we'll probably be a bit more wary. But because of the current climate and the situation, it's okay.
Actually, like throwing back the question to you guys, right, as students or fresh grads, what do you guys think?
Personally, for me, I'm a little bit more paranoid sometimes when it comes to technology, especially when it requires any of like my data or personal details. So the location tracking services, unless like I'm taking a Grab or unless like, I'm looking at Google Maps, usually I try to switch it off. I know and I understand that like logically the technology is such that my data is being stored safely on a server somewhere. But there's just some part of me that wonders like, but what if? Yeah. But otherwise, actually, I think that like for certain things, I used to use it for Runkeeper. And I thought that it's really quite useful because you get to see the distance that you run. And like when you manage to push a little bit further, then you can see like the numbers jump also. And it makes me a little bit happy. So I guess it's a little bit of like the logical side and like the irrational fear. Yeah.
I mean, I also have people around me who are afraid of such tracking tools. So yeah, I think there will always be this group who are not convinced. Yeah.
I think with the tracking thing, talking about the watches, I can see some benefits of it, right? Because like, let's say if you have this regular running route for your 16K, 24K, and so on, then there's this regular running route. Let's say the company collects the data for these, then they can sort of like curate or create this kind of like popular running tracks. I think that's kind of like how they do it, maybe. Like these popular running tracks or suggested routes for like new runners or other runners as well, right? So definitely like the data can be put into good use in ways like that as well.
I think for Apple Watch, with every new generation they release, there's like more features. Some of them even have like ECG monitors. And I was wondering, do you think that there might be further potential users in the future?
Actually, I would like to see it being used more by elderly, actually. Yeah. I think especially like geriatric patients, it's actually a very convenient tool for them to have. And for the caretakers and probably like the medical practitioners to know how's their condition in real time so that they probably can predict stuff before it actually happens. So I think things like, for example, blood pressure, this kind of stuff, it can actually give very good data before something bad happens. It's just that I don't think it's that prevalent yet, yeah, in Singapore, using such trackers or wearables for elderly. But I think that is the good potential.
I think I remember reading about this article where there was this elderly and she had this Apple Watch and her ECG was getting like very erratic and her heart rate was really low. And Apple Watch managed to record this data and inform her that, hey, you know, maybe you should actually visit a doctor. And yeah, the next day she had to get a pacemaker installed and everything. So I think definitely there's this potential in usage in like telehealth or in telemedicine. But I think it will take a bit of effort to convince more elderly to wear this watch. Yeah.
I think for me, I also use the Apple Watch a lot to set goals. I think previously using the Garmin and Fitbit, I don't really use that function to set goals on my wearable. But for Apple Watch, there's this thing where, you know, you need to close your move ring, which includes like certain calories you need to burn a day, certain number of minutes of activity and such. Yeah. So I find myself actually constantly tracking this on a day-to-day basis to see, hey, have I hit this goal or not? Yeah, so I think that's beneficial for me.
Have you ever pushed yourself too far because of trying to chase numbers or trying to chase certain timing, perhaps?
Probably when I was training for a half marathon, but not now. Yeah, so that's why I also say my stamina dropped. Yeah. I mean, last time I was, okay, I think I was a lot more serious into running. I even joined like run classes. Yeah, so I think the push there was real.
Have you ever participated in like the Ironman marathons?
No. I mean, I would love to one day. Yeah, they say usually your peak in fitness is in early 30s or mid 30s. I think that's where the endurance is usually the highest. So yeah, let's see. Hopefully by then we can have like Ironmans and actual outdoor marathons. Now it's like virtual marathons takes a lot of discipline to join one.
How do the virtual marathons work?
Basically, you just join this like challenge on the app, and then yeah, you just track back to see whether you have hit like the goals.
There's still the competitive element based on your timing and stuff, is it?
I think so. I haven't really joined a virtual marathon before, but I think that's how it works. Yeah. Have you joined, Denise?
No, I haven't, but I know of a friend who is joining one soon. So she's training up for that now. But I'm not sure about the competitive element because like each wearable device also tracks a little bit differently and the accuracy is also not there. So I feel like it would be unfair if they were to like use that as a gauge, a benchmark to say like, oh, this person's like first, second, third place.
I think it's also really different because in a physical marathon, everybody's running and you can see like, you know, everybody's in this excruciating pain together and pushing ourselves to your limits.
Yeah, and also the external factors, you know.
Actually, I find the actual run a lot more enjoyable. it's the training leading up to it that's so painful. But the actual run itself, yeah, it was an enjoyable thing.
It's nice when you have everybody that's like beside you and you have that vibe, you know. Yeah.
Going back to the whole topic about wearables again, because right? I look at the kind of like the history. We started off as like just trackers and then it kind of evolved into watches and now it's like kind of like blended together, sort of, right? So I was just wondering, since both of you are like way more familiar than us with these gadgets, what do you think would be like the future of these health tracking devices? Do you think like it's just a trend that's ongoing, it's going to die off in the future, or like it's something that is going to keep evolving in the future?
I think I personally feel like it's going to be like your phone. So basically how I see it evolving in the future would be, I'm not sure if you guys have been to China recently in the past couple of years, but you use your phone for everything. You don't need to bring out like your wallet. So your phone is basically your life. And maybe in the future, someday the watch would do all of that as well. Make your payments. You can maybe have a camera and scan your face and it helps you to unlock your front door, do stuff in the house. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's definitely not a fad. I think it will be a trend moving forward. I think it's an industry that's booming. Also, because of the current situation, because, you know, people, they stay home and they're more aware of the need to be physically healthy and also mentally healthy. So I think there's more elements to not just steps tracking, not just calories tracking, but also things like, are you resting enough? Your sleep hours and other stuff, whether you are standing enough also. Yeah, those kind of things. So I think with that in mind, more people will invest in wearables. Also because I think moving forward, the cost of wearables will probably drop. Yeah, as with all other electronic devices, right? Like TVs, they used to be a few thousand, but now less than 1,000, you can really get a very, very good one. Yeah, so I think wearables in general will become a lot more accessible. So that will be a trend moving forward. I think the future of wearables, I hope, in my view, is that it will be made more available for elderly so that they are able to have a better quality of care in general. Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with you that with technology improving and the cost of health trackers going down, it will definitely be something that becomes more prevalent, especially people becoming more aware of their health and wanting to invest more in health. So perhaps with that, we can wrap up. Which, is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, not for me.
All right, then. Thank you very much for your time today and for sharing with us your experience with health trackers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
If you want to find out more about health and tech or hear about similar experiences, follow us at our social media platforms at Heart to Health Talk. That's at Heart to Health Talk, where additional resources and nuggets of wisdom can be found. Hope to catch you in our next episode. Bye.